Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life.
Hello, friends. How are you doing today? I'm excited to talk today about a topic that impacts all of us, and yet we don't often discuss deeply and intricately how it influences us, which is clothing. So as a birth worker, this topic actually comes up quite a bit. Like, what do we wear to a birth? And what do you wear with your clients during a meeting for pre or post-birth? What is professional enough versus how much is too much versus being able to accommodate movement and bodily fluids and all the things that come up when you are at a birth? Also, did you hear about that skinny jean injury that everyone was talking about in 2015? How does that influence our clothing choices? Now, if you're not someone who has to wear a scrub uniform to perform your duties for your clients, you're left with a lot of choices. And the age-old question that a lot of us women ask is, what do I wear? There are so many things to consider. Ease of movement. Is it water resistance? Do I look too much like the hospital staff? Do I look professional enough? Are there enough pockets? Your clothings, do they help you identify the role that you're playing? Can these clothes get dirty? I want to get into all the nitty-gritty details, but first, I'd love to zoom out for just a moment because that's what I do. And let's chat about how clothing is a huge part of our environment. It is so close to us physically that we often look outside of what's on top of our own body when we think about what's influencing in our external environment. But this is a huge influence on us and communicates quite a bit also to anyone interacting with us. So let's start here. Do you remember back in 2015, so many news articles were out and about it. Everyone talked about it. There was a 35-year-old woman who experienced pain and numbness in her ankles and her lower legs, and she couldn't move them. And when she went to the doctor, they're like, what happened? And she had been helping a friend move the day before, and she was wearing skinny jeans. And so she was squatting a lot, helping her friend pack. And after several hours, she realized she was getting more and more uncomfortable, but she was just pressing through. And later that evening, she began to lose sensation in her feet and had trouble walking. And she wound up tripping, and she fell on the floor and had to stay there for several hours until someone found her. So a CT scan showed that she had sustained damage to her muscle and also nerves due to the extended time squatting in that compressed clothing. So the doctors were saying that the tight-fitting jeans were a part of the problem, not just the fact that she was squatting, but that she was squatting in these clothes that were very restrictive. So she was diagnosed, technically it was called compartment syndrome, which is a reduced blood supply to the leg muscles, which causes swelling to the nerves. And other patients have experienced numbness, tingling, nerve pain in the thighs and groin as a result of bending in jeans that are way too tight. So when we think about what our clothing is covering, and if something is being compressed, just a list of things to think about is inside of just your pants live your arteries, your veins, your lymphatic tubes, your digestive tract, your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, all the tubes through your privates. And then if you go a little bit higher up, you've got your rib cage, your heart, your lungs, your arteries, your nerves, your veins, your entire spinal column is through that part of the body. And so there's been this huge wave, I don't know over how many years, of compression garments, of using our clothing to help facilitate a shape for your body. And I want to be sensitive in talking about the subject because I am not against anyone having a goal or a desire to create a certain shape with their body. It's your body. Like, live your life however you want. And I will cheer you on and help encourage you every step of the way. But when we come at it externally, rather than going to the root of it, it can have some, our body can produce some feedback. So when we aggravate these systems that I just listed off of everything that's kind of in the body with compression, added compression, another thing to keep in mind too is it can also affect the pelvic floor and core dysfunction. So even for you, for your clients, anytime you add extra compression to the core, this affects the inner abdominal, your inner abdominal pressure. So if you have pelvic floor, core dysfunction, it has a direct link to being able to either work towards healing and optimally use your core and pelvic floor, or you're adding an extra layer that your body's having to compensate for and almost fight against, which, and then it also affects your breath too, which your breath is huge when it comes to being able to recruit the core and pelvic floor optimally. So that was, it's more of an aside, but it's just something to keep in the back of your head when, especially with your clients postpartum. And if you're really wanting to dig deeper into understanding the core and the pelvic floor, I have a 4-week online series to help understand your own movement patterns and how to be able to support that really efficiently. When it comes to, I really like giving pregnancy analogies to birth workers because it's so easy to see certain things outside of us externally. And then to kind of make it personal again, we're like, oh yeah, I get it. So we have this understanding that extra tension can affect a pregnancy. It can affect a baby's positioning. And so like one of the muscles that I always look at is your psoas tight? So if the psoas has a lot of tension, it can directly impact how much movement and mobility the baby has access to. And it also affects any tight clenched muscles in the belly, also can affect the digestive system, the pelvic floor, the blood flow, the nerves. But when it comes to the baby's positioning, any extra tension and pressure, like imagine there's just like a band around your belly, like providing that extra tension. Like we immediately, I think most of us cringe at the idea of that baby being kind of clenched down additionally. And we know like babies develop strength through wiggling and through movement, and they're starting their developmental process inside of us. And so if we're restricting that through a lot of tension or something external, like applying that pressure, the baby is going to be influenced by that in its developmental stages. And then also we're going to see maybe some, it's going to influence possibly some of the birth and maybe even the baby being able to drop, all of that kind of stuff. So when we think about that, it's so obvious, like, okay, add attention to a baby in the belly, like, ooh, okay, maybe that's not the best. Like we would recommend, like we wouldn't want our clients like trying to suck in their belly and keep their belly smaller while the baby's trying to grow. And then we can maybe zoom out a little bit and we can think, what about me and my belly and everything that's inside of my belly? What impact does compression wear have? So a list of ideas of compression, like garments that cause extra compression would be skinny jeans. That's what we're talking about. Compressive garments that are advertised specifically as compressive garments. I'm not going to throw any specific brand under the bus here, but we all know. Really tight underwear. Belts are huge. They're right around the waist and we just cinch them up. Tights, tight pants that are too small or too tight, things that cause you to kind of clench or affect your breath or make it so that movement is restricted is something to pay attention to because it affects your body. Your body does have to adapt. Whether or not you think that's an issue, it's something to acknowledge as your body's having to adapt to that extra compression. So and another thing to think about too for added compression is you can add compression to your own body. So by sucking in your belly or extra tension that's already being carried there because maybe your psoas is a little bit shorter or has a lot of tension or because of trauma or anything else, we are carrying a lot of tension in the belly or the pelvic floor. That compression, that tension is going to affect what's going on in and around that area. And I think I'm going to do a whole podcast about this idea in a few weeks, but let's go over in brief. So you've got the front of your stomach and you've got your nerves and you've got your organs and you've got all these tubes. And when you think about your belly and then you think about sucking in and how the belly looks like it became smaller. So think of like posing for a picture, or if you're in a bikini or you're in a swimsuit and you're like trying to create a flatter looking belly, we can suck the belly in. And on the outside, it looks like it got smaller. But really, like we are biologically, and I think we know this, but sometimes we need that visual. All of those guts, all of your beautiful squishy guts and that fat and anything else that is there, when you suck it in, it has to go somewhere. So we don't have extra space in our body that is just kind of able to, like a squishy ball. Like when you squish it and you compress it, there's this extra, like a foam ball maybe. If you were to squish it, there's actually little air pockets in there so that you can squish it, you can compress it, and it actually does get, smaller. But our bodies aren't that way. We don't have little air pockets where we can just kind of shove extra fat into. When you pull it in, it has to go somewhere. So that's where all these pressure-related issues like hernia or diastasis or pelvic floor or breathing problems, all of those are functions, and your body functions really well on effective pressure. And so when you start playing around with your pressure systems because you're trying to create a certain shape, your body starts, this idea of creating pressure so you can create a shape starts encroaching on your own biology. So you're a body full of tubes and tubes with really important jobs. And when we start pushing on a tube, the fluid inside of that has to move somewhere else and flow through the other tube changes. So think of like squeezing or pinching a toothpaste container, like a toothpaste tube. If you compress that, like you can realize if the lid is on and it's a full tube and then you go to squeeze the middle, you're going to have quite a bit of pressure on both sides. Like that pressure does go somewhere. And that's very similar to how our body is, because we're not half empty. We don't just have like all this extra space inside of us where we can just compress and then it just dissipates to somewhere else. It does dissipate somewhere else, but it's pressure. So I find it really interesting. So we're thinking about compression. We're thinking about our bodies. We're thinking about movement. And the doctors recommended at the end of the article, in all the articles, when people were interviewing the doctors, is the recommendations were don't squat in your skinny jeans. So it wasn't don't wear skinny jeans. It was don't squat in them, which is just something I find really interesting, because our clothing really impacts the way our movement behaviors. And a lot of times it alters our ability to perform certain movements. And some sorts of movements aren't even like socially acceptable very much anymore anyway, like sitting on the floor. But most of our clothing has been designed to create a certain shape, but that shape also doesn't move much. Like we can swing our arms a little bit, we can sit up and down, and we can walk, and then that's pretty much it. And to think of, okay, so my clothing gets to dictate my movement lifestyle, I think it's a good question to ask ourselves if that's something we're really willing to do rather than just culturally accept more. I'm all about like challenging the cultural norm. And so maybe being willing to ask these hard questions of if this shape that I'm pursuing causes me not to be able to move in certain ways, is that going to be worth it? I don't know. It's up to you. It's your own life. But I like offering these questions because these questions often don't get asked. And then all of a sudden we're, 20 years in, it's just, we don't realize that we have a choice sometimes. It's just everyone wears skinny jeans. That's what's in, that's what we're doing. And now like it's different than in 2005. I think that almost pushed into like, you have like the jegging idea where it's really stretchy material that is in the shape of a skinny jean. So again, it's not necessarily a shape, more of how that shape influences your body and your ability to move. So because we're all birth workers, let's chat about clothing in pregnancy for just a second before we move into clothing for ourselves. We all know that we want our mamas to be comfortable, just like I talked about earlier, like trying to squeeze into pants that are too small or wearing clothing that is really compressive. We understand that that's not going to be the most supportive environment for mom or for baby because all these tubes that are running through us that we've mentioned earlier, pregnant women already have extra stuff going on around those tubes. So everything's getting displaced. Think of everything in their core and how displaced it gets, especially towards the end of pregnancy. And now, so those tubes are already adapting to this added pressure, which isn't bad. It's just something to notice. Now, if we add extra tension and compression on top of that, that's a really big load to ask a woman's body to carry. And so most of us, I would say, would highly recommend to our clients to just be real comfortable. Like, don't try and squeeze into your jeans until the very last minute and the button's popping. Like, just transition over to those maternity pants when you need to and wear the flowy, breezy tops and dresses and just be comfortable in their body. Like, that's just such a, to see a woman comfortable in her body in that way is just such a beautiful thing. And so it's something that we can just be encouraging our clients to just be aware of. So even in non-pregnant women, so support wear has been shown to negatively impact digestion, breathing, and continence. So we're a person, like we talked about earlier, we're not that squishy ball. And pressing into our belly, so pressing your belly in towards your spine, like pulling that in, sucking it in, means that your guts have to go upwards or downwards in your diaphragm. So very similar to that toothpaste analogy that I made. And that also makes your breathing and your digestion more difficult. And it increases strain on the pelvic floor. So compressive garments don't only push the larger chambers and adjust the pressure chambers in your thoracic and abdominal and pelvic cavities, but they push on everything inside of those chambers as well. So it has a really big impact. So when we're talking about postnatal women, and then we talk about wraps and binders, I'm going to do a whole in-depth podcast on this soon because I have a lot to say on this one. But since we're talking about clothing and we're talking about the pregnant body, the postnatal body, we're talking about compression, I just wanted to touch on this for a moment because this is a question that I get quite a bit. We talk about ancient cultures and we talk about these binding rituals. And my personal stance, taking everything that we've talked about in this episode already and applying it to that situation, is that any internal or external support that is recommended for the postpartum body, my recommendation is that it is very gentle, that you can move and breathe and live comfortably in whatever wrap or binder that you're in, and that the pressure is more like a gentle hugging sensation, that it can feel very supportive to the postpartum body. If the mom, it can feel almost like it's harder sometimes to tap into those core muscles. It can feel like kind of like your whole core is like kind of hanging out. And so having that little bit of external support can be really, I mean, not just psychologically, but, you know, even physiologically nice and supportive. But when we're trying to squeeze the abdominal muscles together by either sucking in intensely and repeatedly, or by wrapping anything around the belly with lots of tension and not hardly any give, that can actually compromise the pelvic floor, the core, and the breath mechanics way more than it supports it. Postpartum recovery is not about returning to a specific shape and not paying attention to how that shape is created and ignoring what's happening underneath the skin. So that's my little soapbox. I'll jump off of it for now. But I just wanted to mention that as kind of an aside. So let's take all this information that we've talked about and bring it back home. So what do you wear when you're with your clients? My tips for birth, when you're at a birth, make sure you can move freely. We all know this. We've all talked about it. It's in forums. It's in Facebook groups. But this is really huge. Birth work is a physical job. That's why I work to support my birth worker clients in the way to develop strength and function so that they can have all these movement options. I want them to be able to squat and bend over and to be able to lift and to have the strength to be able to serve their clients for a longer, you know, duration of time, because birth takes a while sometimes. And yet they do all this work and they're building all this strength and they're developing this neurological connection and all of this. And then if they go to get into clothing that doesn't allow them to move in those ways, now they're limited in the ways that they can serve their clients. So if you can't move or you're restricted in any way with your breath, or honestly, if you're just uncomfortable in your clothes, it's going to affect how you show up for your clients. So certain tests that I like to do when I get into clothes, if I'm in a dressing room or I'm thinking about buying something or even just thinking about wearing something to a birth, I do a little routine. It sounds kind of silly, but I'll walk you through it. I reach up to the ceiling. I see if I can reach both arms straight up or as high as I normally have a range of motion to do with my shoulders. And then I give myself a big hug. I like both hands are behind, like touching the opposite shoulder blade, that type of a hug. Or can I do that big hugging motion? Like a lot of times there's restriction in the shoulders. So I test the shoulder area of whatever it is that I'm wearing. And then I go to test the leg ranges of motion. So can I squat? Can I lunge? Can I do a really wide kind of sumo squat? And then can I bend over? Those are huge. And then I try and take a huge deep breath. If I can do all those things and not feel impeded, I am off to a really good start. So I want to say something about yoga pants. I am not against yoga pants. Honestly, one of the best things about my job is that I get to wear yoga pants for a living and with teaching exercise classes. But because I've taught a lot of exercise classes, I'm going to be very direct and honest with you. A lot of people do not realize that some of the very thin yoga pants, when they bend over, are very, very see-through. And I know they would be mortified to know this, but as I teach in-person classes, before the coronavirus, I would see straight through some of these pants. And I know my clients would be mortified if they knew about that. And so I really recommend that you have someone you trust do a butt check, like bend over, get into some funky positions, stretch those pants out, and then say, what do you see? And because there are some really good quality, amazing yoga pants that are absolutely not see-through at all. But just standing in a dressing room, not bending over, you're not going to be able to fully know whether you're fully covered or not. So just something to keep in mind to keep it professional. And the whole, you know, wear scrubs or to not wear scrubs. This can be tricky because many people want to know, they want to make sure they're not seen as another medical professional, but especially doulas, they want to be differentiated as support personnel. The best recommendation I've heard when it comes to the scrub debate is to wear scrub bottoms in a color that doesn't match what the hospital has and have a t-shirt on or your sweatshirt, especially something that's branded. It's comfortable and it's easy and it looks really professional. I like black scrubs and a branded t-shirt and a branded sweatshirt wearing the layers. All of them are comfortable and stretchy, but I feel like it looks really professional. And I feel like this also makes it really easy to have an extra pair of clothing in your cars that matches. So you stay looking consistent and at ease for your clients rather than maybe mismatched because you're wearing some random pants that you didn't originally start wearing with a mismatched top. So I find that combo works really well for me. And a lot of my other doula friends really, they love that kind of combo. So tips for clothing in everyday life. So when it comes to movement, my suggestions as the ones I made earlier are the exact same for everyday life, which is not something that we birth workers always make the transition into. We think I need clothing that moves when I'm with my clients and when I'm at a birth. But then they come back to their everyday life and maybe their real clothes or for their other job or however it is that they need to wear clothes, whatever they have to wear their clothes for. But you deserve to feel at home in your own skin. And if your clothing is restricting you, your breath, your movement in any way, it will impact your nervous system and it will impact your experience in your body. So I just ask you to start noticing if your clothes fit, if you can make movement, if you make specific movement choices about how you're going to move based on what you are or you're not wearing. Just notice if there's a sigh of relief at the end of the day when you take something off, whether it's your bra, your pants, your shoes. It's a really powerful piece of feedback when you take it off and you're like, oh, thank God that's off. Maybe there's a little bit of extra compression there that might not be serving you. Because it's such a big topic that I'm really excited about, I'm going to be discussing shoes next week. Foot movement, pain, ankle mobility, and all of that can be affecting the tension in your neck. Yes, your neck. You heard that right. How it's affecting maybe your headaches and so much more. So I'm really excited for next week's episode. And also we'll get into, you know, how do you find appropriate shoes that will work for a birth? The whole water resistant thing, being professional, being comfortable, all those same questions are going to apply to our feet as well. Thank you so much for joining me for today's conversation. I'd love to hear from you. What do you love to wear to births? Join me over on my social media to join in the conversation and for fun movement tips and accessible mobility challenges to keep your whole body moving freely and joyfully. All of anything I mentioned is going to be in today's show notes at thethrivingbirthworker.com. And also, I've got some awesome resources over on my website, free exercise classes and more at erinunderwoodmovement.com. I am so grateful for you, for this community, and for your service to your communities. I'm over here cheering you on and hoping you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Enjoy your breath. Enjoy your body. Enjoy moving this week. Bye for now.
The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.